Open in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5, one more time. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, New King James says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's pray. Father, again, we just are so thankful for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God, who is the great teacher here tonight. We thank you that the Holy Spirit can take your Word, the written Word, and make it alive, make it real, make it practical, renew our minds, bring salvation to our heart, in the sense that it restores our soul. We thank you, Father, that as new creations in Christ, your word feeds us, it equips us, it empowers us. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit, that the two of them work simultaneously in our lives. Open up our eyes to recognize the truth that's in your word tonight. Expose any error, any traditions and doctrines of men that have made the word of God of none effect. Set us free, Father, from any false doctrine, any leaven that might have gotten into our hearts and into our minds. We thank you, Father, for the truth that can make us free, because we're disciples, and we're here tonight because we've chosen to continue in your word. And as you said, if we continue in your word, we will be disciples indeed. So we thank you for it in advance before anything else happens tonight. In Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, Amen. Amen. Going back a few weeks, we've been talking about being fruitful and that fruit would remain. John 15 talks about remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I believe it grieves the Father's heart to look at the church today and see how many people are no longer remaining in his body, in the sense of being connected and being involved. They've taken a position that I don't need the local church. I don't need this church or that church. I'm just going to be the church. Well, that's true. They are the church. But part of being the church isn't just to sit and receive. Part of being the church is to be part of a servant attitude, being involved, being part of a body. And so there's so many scriptures that we've talked before about for us to produce fruit, for us to be fruitful in this life, for us to be fruit-bearing Christians instead of fruitless, we must remain in Him. We must remain connected to the body. He says, without Him or apart from Him, and this is part of Him right here, He says, you can do nothing. And sad to say, but a lot of Christians out there right now aren't doing very much for the kingdom. They're sitting at home doing nothing, waiting for Jesus to come back, believing God for stuff for themselves, me, myself, and I. And there's something about being, I think, stirred up in these last days. And I know everybody says, well, we're, you know, every generation says it's the last days. Well, for you and me, it is the last days, because one of these days, you and I won't be around anymore. So it is our last days. Whether there's another generation, another generation, another generation, it's still the last days for us. Amen. So we have to look at it as if we have a harvest to win, as we are praying in pre-service prayer. Josh was going really hard about praying about the harvest, and I believe that's true. We are in harvest time more than any other time in the world. There's more people alive today than ever before that need Jesus. Amen. So we've got to be able to be prepared, and the only way to be prepared, as he says, is to remain in him. A branch cannot produce fruit severed from the vine or independent from the vine. We have to be able to be connected with him, hear him, be able to have some place to bring someone when they get saved, someone born again, bring them into a body where they can get equipped and brought up and nurtured in the admonition of the Lord. Amen? So when we looked at Galatians 5:16 here, I'll read the King James this time. We've talked about various things, the fruit versus the law and the fruit versus the flesh in the last, during back in July, a number of messages during June and July. So in Galatians it says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Everyone say, walk in the Spirit. That's what starts this whole thing here. When he starts talking about the works of the flesh, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he lays out this foundation by saying, walk in the Spirit. Now, we'll define that in a moment, but I want you to underline that in your Bible and really hold on to that as we go through the whole message tonight. If you want a title for tonight, it's called Walking in the Spirit. It's not a mysterious thing. It's pretty simple. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another. So there's always going to be this battle. As long as we are in this world, we're going to have to contend with this flesh. This flesh is made up of this natural, worldly stuff. All right? We're here in this world, and we're existing in a fallen world, a world that is still bound by the law of sin and death. But we are walking by a higher law. Can we get an amen on that one? We walk by the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, not by the law of sin and death. And he goes on and he says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, if I'm giving place to my flesh, if I'm giving place to this lower nature, this natural world, there's certain things that inside my heart has a desire to do that is pleasing to God, and I end up not being able to do it. There's a frustration. There's almost like a cancellation, if I can put it that way, of a desire to do those things that God has us wanting, that God wants us to do, and we want to do them. We know sometimes what to do. And we get frustrated because, for whatever reason, we can't walk it out. We can't fulfill it. And he says, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he goes on in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. So what are these results if we walk in the Spirit? We're not going to give place to the flesh. So what are these things? Let's define what they are. He tells us these things that we shouldn't have to give place to, that we shouldn't have to be subjected to. We wouldn't have to be... In other words, the temptation may still be there. But we don't have to give place to them. Because if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill these things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I always put a disclaimer in here. It's not talking about heaven or hell or salvation. It's talking about inheriting or being able to access or walk in the blessings that comes by being a believer. See, if you walk in all those things, you're not going to walk in the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit and walking by faith and walking by the things that God has ordained, that's where the blessing comes. So you may be born again, but you're just not going to be able to walk in the blessing of being saved. Thank you for that burst of silence. See, that's, some people want to say, well, if you're any one of those things, you're not even going to heaven. As we've talked about before, pick some of those out, because all of us here are guilty of at least one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it's talking about heaven or hell there, it would challenge us with that. But it's not. It's talking about the fact that even though we're in this world and we're born again and we're a child of God, there are still things in this world that tempt us and pull us off course, and we end up walking in the flesh, as we would say. Oh yeah, that guy just got in the flesh. Or that woman, she got in the flesh. And we've all maybe said that in some way. Oh, yeah, I got angry and I got in the flesh. Well, what we do is we walk in the Spirit. We won't give place to getting in the flesh. We're going to be more pleasing to God. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, the law is not made for righteous men. We discussed this a couple weeks ago. But the law does have consequences if we put ourselves back under the law. If we put ourselves back to a place where the law is there and that has a certain amount of responsibility to obey the law, and you break the law continually, there's going to be results. I'd rather walk in the Spirit and get those results, personally. The Bible says very clearly, when I'm looking at this contrast between these two, this flesh versus the fruit, and this fruit versus the law, I don't know about you, but when I look at those that list of the works of the flesh, I can look at them and say, you know, I don't want anything to do with any of them. And we can work real hard. I've heard people teach on this over the 30 years or so that I've been in the pulpit, and I've sometimes had to disagree with them because they teach you how to resist the works of the flesh. Well, I don't have to learn how to resist adultery. I don't have to learn how to resist those things. I have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. When I walk in the Spirit, those things aren't even going to get close to me. That's the answer. It's not about trying to put yourself back under the law, because the law says, don't do this, don't touch that, don't say this, don't look at that. And in a sense, that's where the law is. The law is putting you responsible for yourself to say no to those things. Don't. Rather than just saying yes to God. And when I'm in Him, and I know who I am in Him, everyone say, I'm in Him. See, when we know who we are in Him, and I know who I am in Him, and who He is in me, it's a lot easier to say no to those things because they're not even going to be a temptation. Now, they may raise up their ugly head, but it's easy just to walk right past them. It's easy just to ignore them. It's easy just to say, oh, I'm not paying attention to you today. Why? Because I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking after the things of God. I'm aware and living in that place that God has for me. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, some of you have been around long enough that out of the charismatic movement in the 60s and 70s, I came out of that movement, and in the, especially in the mid to late 70s, there was a lot of, I would just say, goofiness when it came to walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit should not be mysterious. It certainly shouldn't be mystical, if I can put it that way. It shouldn't be spooky. Walking in the Spirit is definitely not impossible or unrealistic. Walking in the Spirit is actually something that you and I are doing every single day. Whether you realize it or not, you're walking in the Spirit. See, this is the problem. We have a definition or a picture of it, walking in the Spirit, like, I'm walking in the Spirit now. I'm just flowing and walking in the Spirit. That's just goofy. Now, you know, you just walk through life. How many of you know who Rick Renner is and his wonderful Greek dictionaries and definitions and his books? He has this to say on this particular word in this verse. I can't say it any better, so I'm just going to read his. And forgive me if I butcher the Greek, because I don't speak Greek. The word walk is the Greek word peripateo. Sounds like potato to me. It appears in the New Testament 95 times and has a very clear meaning. The word peripateo is a compound of the words peri and pateo. The word peri means around and suggests the idea of something that is encircling. In many cases, it means concerning. But in this case, it expresses the idea of encircling. The word pateo means to walk. It denotes the movement of the feet, and it can be translated to walk, to step, to stride, to tread, or even to trample. But when these two words are compounded into one, as they are in Galatians 5:16, it means to habitually walk around in one general vicinity. Thus the word peripateo was often translated as the word live. To live. This means that instead of being translated walk in the Spirit, the phrase in Galatians 5:16 could be translated live in the Spirit. This is a good rendering of the word peripateo, for indeed it suggests, quote, a person who has walked in one region for so long that it has now become his environment, his place of daily activity, the sphere that encircles his existence. One expositor notes that the word peripateo could be best explained by thinking of a person who has walked one path so habitually that he would be able to walk that path blindfolded because it, quote, is his path, his sphere, the place where he has habitually lived and functioned. So when you look at some alternate translations, They say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So it's walk by the Spirit, not just in, but by the Spirit. But most of the other ones have this. Live by following the Spirit. Then you will not do what your sinful selves want. Another one says, live your life as your spiritual nature directs you. Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. New Living says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The Message always is interesting. My counsel is this: live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. I think he is interesting because the author of the Message has a tendency to bring his own interpretation into certain words. When he talks about the flesh, he equates it many times with selfishness or self-centeredness. I think that's interesting. But I love the Amplified. So bear with me because it's very Amplified. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature that's without God. So when it's saying, let's live habitually, walking in the Holy Spirit, walking in that place responsive and controlled by or influenced by the Holy Spirit, there's something about us walking in that place where He's just simply in our life every single day. So to walk in the Spirit basically is nothing more than just being in cooperation with the Holy Spirit every single day. Don't we want to do that every day? And walking in the Word of God that we have every single day. So what Word do you have in your life today? In a sense, you're walking in the Spirit. You're living by that Spirit. Thy Word and thy Spirit, they're one and the same. And when you're walking in the Word, you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking out your Christianity. It's not spooky. It's not mysterious. It's not mystical. It's very blunt. It's very honest. It's very simple. You're just walking out what you know. You can't walk out what you don't know. And if you haven't been in the Word, guess what? It's going to have a problem. You might yield to something. Go back and look at that list of the flesh again. And there may be some of the things in the flesh there that bother you. I remember years ago I had a young lady that had been coming. She got born again. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. And she was talking to my wife and I one night. And she said, you know, I realize I'm going to have to move. Well, she was living in a house with a bunch of different people. She was a stewardess and flying. And she came out of a pretty loose lifestyle. And she realized that, gee, you know, the way I'm living right now with all these other people, a couple girls and a couple guys, and you know, she just, it was more like a frat house, if you want to be honest with you. And she realized, this is kind of loose. I can't be living like this anymore. Well, what happened? Truth came to her. The Word of Christ came to her. And all of a sudden she started reading the Bible and reading these things and realizing, well, I guess, you know, hanging around and running around and going to parties and sleeping around and doing all this stuff. Maybe that's not a real good testimony. Like, duh. You know, on this side of it, we look back and say, well, of course not. Of course you don't want to be considered, you know, a fornicator. You don't want to be doing something with lasciviousness. You don't want to be committing adultery. There's consequences to that. Again, it may not be the fact that a person goes to hell, because unfortunately there's been all kinds of people, even in Christian leadership and so forth, that have been guilty of adultery. They'll commit adultery, they'll repent, commit adultery, repent, get a divorce, get married, commit adultery, repent. Oh, I'm sorry. We got too much of that. Why is that? Because they're not feeding on the Word of God and strengthening themselves to walk in the Spirit. They're not living in the Spirit of that Word that says, you have the strength to say no. It's no different than the person that says, well, I can't help it. You know, I've been an alcoholic. I'm always an alcoholic. And I said, no, not. You're not. You're no longer an alcoholic. As a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian, you don't need to go to AA and stand up and say, hi, my name is Joe and I'm an alcoholic. You stand up and say, hi, my name is Joe and I used to be an alcoholic. And I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is greater in me now than the desire of my flesh to drink. Now, I can testify to that from alcohol and drugs personally. Have no desire for it. And I used to. Used to do it all the time. But you know what? The Spirit of God on the inside says, you don't need that anymore. Why would you get high on that when you can get high on Jesus? Can I get an amen from somebody out there? We don't need that. We don't need to gratify the flesh. We don't need to tell our flesh, okay, we'll make you happy because the Spirit of God on the inside of me has already brought me the joy of the Lord. Love, joy. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. That joy unspeakable and full of glory is already on the inside of me because His Spirit is on the inside of me. Because His Word is on the inside of me. I don't need to try to get happy. I already got the joy of the Lord. It's my strength. Take any one of those of the fruit of the Spirit, and there's something already resident inside you because the Holy Spirit's there. And that's where we should live. And when I live there, I'm not going to give place to those other things. I don't need those other things because I've got love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faithfulness. When I've got those on the inside of me, I don't need all those other works of the flesh to make me feel alive, to make me feel valuable, to give me something of worth, to give worth to myself. I've got my worth through Jesus Christ. Now, turn over to 1 John 2 for a second. When we start talking about walking in the Spirit, I just wrote down, I took my little notebook. It's not a little notebook. It's a big notebook. I just started all the things that I could think of that the Bible talks about walking in. Walking in love, walking in wisdom, walking in this, walking in that. I mean, I filled up 2 pages of notes. And then I started thinking, okay, I better look these up. I better find these scriptures. Because, you know, you can learn certain things and you can recall certain things, but I'm guilty of the fact that I don't always know the address. I may not remember exactly where it is in the scriptures. I know what it is. I know where what it means to me, but I may not necessarily always remember exactly how to find it. Thank God for concordance. Amen. Thank God for certain Bible programs that will help you do that. So I started writing down all the things that I feel that we should walk in. And of course, that came up the most common ones, walking in love, walking by faith, walking, you know, in wisdom. And we'll get to those. But after I got done writing all these down, one of them that I came across as I was sitting there and meditating on it was, I came across a scripture that reminded me to walk in this world as He walked. And that's always one that's a challenge to me because I look at how He walked and I think, man, that's going to be tough. I don't know if I can walk as He walked. And then I realized, oh, I'm just thinking in my own natural self now. I'm just limiting myself to what I can or can't do. Because in Him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if He said I can walk as He walked, He wouldn't lie, would He? He actually must mean that I can walk as He walked. And I'm thinking, well, if He walked this way, did He walk in the Spirit? Did He live so much in the Spirit? Was He tempted with fornication? Was He tempted with lying? Was He tempted with wrath? Was He tempted? Again, you go through the list: uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. Do you think Jesus was tempted? Sure He was. The Bible says He was tempted in all points. He faced every temptation any one of us has ever faced. And yet He never gave place. Why? Because He was walking in the Spirit. But that's Jesus. He's walking in the Spirit. Do you think the disciples were walking around going, what? Back up, back up, back up. Get out of the way. Jesus is walking in the Spirit right now. Look out now. No, Jesus just was Himself. He was just the Word of God in the flesh. He was just filled with the Spirit. He's just walking and living, controlled by the Spirit. And as He is, the Bible says what? As what? So are we when we get to heaven. In this world. Do we really believe that? If we really believe that, every time one of those temptations would come along, we'd just say, oh, Lord, get out of here. That's not even a real temptation. Why? Because I am walking in Him and He is in me. And He's already faced that temptation and He's already said no. He's already said, get thee behind me, Satan. And how did He say it? It is written. Again, the Word of God in our lives is strong enough to help us resist any temptation of the flesh, any desire of the flesh. As long as I continue to walk in the Spirit, as long as I continue to live and be influenced by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God, the Word and the Spirit, they are one and the same, living in my life today and in your life today and every single day. As you walk through life, as you go to work, as you meet family members and friends and neighbors, there will be opportunities to get into wrath. Now, I know I've joked about it, but sometimes I cannot even watch the news because wrath is a temptation. Someone else has possibly also experienced that. You start looking at these things, and there's murder. Now you say, well, you'll never, Pastor, you'd never murder anyone. It says if you hate someone, it's as if you murdered them. And there's been times I've gotten so angry and so upset about something or someone, I've got to really watch my attitude. There are certain people in this world, they just come on TV, just hearing their voice just grates me the wrong way. And see, I can justify, say, well, they've just given place to that spirit of Antichrist, and I can't stand that spirit. It's just, rise my righteous indignation. Rah, rah. I come up with excuses. That's not wrath. That's the wrath of God. That's just... Huh? So you can't do that. Especially if there's somebody in a position of authority, which some of you probably know who I'm talking about. You need to pray for them. But it's hard to pray for them when you don't like them. Or you hate them. Or you're speaking evil of them all the rest of the time. And you're complaining about them to everybody else. Or when they come on the TV, you turn it over to cartoons. Hey, I'd rather be watching Mickey Mouse sometimes than some of the stuff I see. Come on. Now, did you find 1 John 2 yet? I'm just setting you up. Verse 5 says, by this we may know that we are what? In Him. Everyone say, in Him. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. In other words, we ought to live and conduct our lives the same way Jesus walked. We ought to live and be just exactly like Jesus in those situations. Said, well, you're expecting too much of me. Well, He's the one that asked you to do this, not me. I didn't ask you to do that. He did. This is 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. This is the ESV, just to help you out with that. I'm not sure. Got that translation up there for me? Thank you. Again, by this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. So, do we really know how Jesus walked while He was in this natural life? I believe we do. He was the righteousness of God. He lived a sinless, selfless life. He resisted every temptation of the flesh that any one of us has ever faced. And I believe the Scripture tells us exactly how He walked. He walked in every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. He walked in love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and meekness, temperance, faith, all nine aspects. And again, that's just a partial list of those nine things. There's others. He walked in all of those things. And the Bible says to us, we ought to walk in the same way. In other words, we ought to live our life the same way He did. Well, wait a minute. We can't do that. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, please, in the ESV. Verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. So again, he says, be an imitator of God. Just copy what Jesus did. Look at the Bible, see what Jesus did. Well, see, Jesus walked in there and he turned the tables over and he did this and he did that. Well, you know, when you're anointed by the Holy Ghost to do that in those times, there's going to be fruit for it. But don't use that as an excuse to get all upset and get into wrath. In this case, I believe God, when he asks us to imitate him, how do we imitate him? How do we imitate the fruit of the Spirit? How do we walk in love, as it says here? 2 John 1 says this, "And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it." He's talking about the great commandment of love, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. We know that story. And when we're walking in love, in his commandments, this is love, this is walking in that great commandment, there are opportunities to be selfless. There are opportunities to put someone else's needs first. There's an opportunity not to think, well, I'm thinking about just me and what I believe and what I want and what I think. No, sometimes you have to stop and say, what's really going on here? What's important for everyone else involved in this? What's really important? I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but I'm really tired of all these Christians that I'm running into that are not involved in a church and don't think they need to be. They're going to be sadly disappointed when they stand before Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and he's going to say, "Where were you?" "Well, I was sitting at home in my lazy boy." I said, "Boy, you, Pastor, you're just really hard on this. I care about those people. They're not bringing their talents and their gifts into the body of Christ, which is what they are there for. That's what they've been equipped for. We all have different talents. Don't bury them somewhere else. Bring them to the body of Christ. Bring them and use them." I'm so thankful for us. As small as our church is, we have a lot of people who are involved. Thank you for that. I am so appreciative of all the help the Ministry of Health on our calendar there. It's great. And we look at how people are involved and say, "Well, right now I'm busy, I got work." Be involved with your giving. Be involved with your prayer. You can pray for us every single day. There's other ways to be involved. You can't just, everybody can't ever be a music team. We wouldn't get everybody fitting in that sound booth back there, I can tell you that right now. But some of you might have a real ear for that, and I know they're looking for some help back there. Some of you might have a real heart for kids. I know they always could use some help in children's church. Whatever it is that we have in us, ask God, where do I fit into the body? How can I use the talents or the gifts or the callings that are part of me? How do I do that? Walk in the callings that God has given us. One of them talks about worthy, walk worthy of that calling. Get into that maybe later. So when he says walk in the Spirit, walking in love, walking out of those commandments is a primary responsibility. When I'm walking in the commandments and I'm walking in love, I'm walking in the truth. 3 John 1, verse 3 says this, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you." They came and testified of the truth that is in you. Now, how would they know that the truth was in someone? Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk, in other words, live, are influenced by, are demonstrating, are bringing forth the fruit of the truth. When you know someone's got the truth in them, it comes out. It shows up. And John's writing, you know, we've already looked at 1 John, we looked at 2 John, and now in 3 John he says it again, "I rejoiced when the brothers came and said, testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walked in the truth." When we walk in the truth, we walk out of that truth that is in us. We're walking by the Spirit, walking and living in the Spirit. We're walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 said this one earlier, but this is the address. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The Amplified actually puts it this way. "For we walk by faith." Now listen to the definition here. "We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves. How? By the convictions of our belief. By the convictions of our belief. Respecting man's relationship to God and the divine things that are around us. And we trust and have holy fervor, thus we walk, or thus we live. Thus we are influenced in every single time we go through life. See, you may not realize it, but you're walking in the Spirit every day. Every moment of your life, you're walking, living, existing, being influenced by what the Spirit of God is trying to say to you, trying to persuade you of, trying to influence you to respond to Him, to respond to the Word. Every situation we get in, we have an opportunity to choose. He says, I set before you life or death, blessing or cursing, or we could say the Word or the flesh. That's Hansen theology, but that's what I would put it as. I set before you today, walk in the Spirit or give place to the flesh. Which one are you going to do? And every day we're faced with that. In the simplest decisions. I know sometimes you think it's silly to talk about this, but I know when I've given place to the flesh, especially when I'm driving down the freeway and somebody cuts in front of me. My flesh just wants to react. There are certain triggers. And you just repent afterwards and say, Lord, why? I just did it again. He says, you need to get a hold of that. You need to get a hold of that. Yes, sir, I will. And, not even 5 minutes, another Yahoo does it. And of course, someone will say, well, the Lord's testing you. No, I'm not. It's that Yahoo. Come on. Now, at that point, you just say, no kid, flesh, just shut up. They're in a hurry. They're probably on their way to do something. I'm going to tell off on myself, all right? Last week, because we were running around doing a bunch of stuff, I came up to a four-way stop. You know, there's a lot of people, they don't understand four-way stops, especially if they weren't brought up in this country. They just stop and wait for everybody. And they look around like, who's going next? And they just hold up everybody because, like, no, you're, and I'm going like, go ahead, go. And they're going, go. And then finally the guy over there looks around and says, well, nobody else is going, I'm going. And so then they start to drive. Well, then the other guy, he's like, they're going to crash. And then I'm like, And finally they clear out of the intersection. Then I try to go. And then someone else thinks, it's their turn. No, it's my turn now. Don't you understand? It's a four-way stop. I got really upset. No, somebody just about creams your car. Someone has gone through a stop sign. Someone knows what I'm talking about here. You get frustrated. People aren't paying attention. Well, then, it wasn't even a couple hours later, I came rolling up to something and I wasn't paying attention. And I didn't pay attention to the fact that there was a stop sign on the other side there. I didn't see it. I thought this car was parked. I honestly did. I thought the car was parked. So I start pulling into the intersection. Well, he starts honking. He gives me half of a peace sign. If you understand what that is. And I just waved at him. I'm like, sorry. He's like, hey. You don't go, oh. And then I just said, Lord, forgive me. I just got mad back there a couple hours ago because those Yahoos, and now I'm the Yahoo. Yahoo! See, as soon as you get in the flesh, you get upset with someone else about something, I guarantee you, judge not lest you be what? Because I guarantee you, you're going to have the opportunity to do the very same thing. I can just tell you from examples, the guy who preaches the hardest against homosexuality is probably the guy that's dealing with the thoughts of it. The guy who preaches the hardest against adultery is the guy who's resisting that temptation stronger than anyone else. We know situations in the body of Christ where that's happened. someone gets up and they're just constantly beating a drum on something. The guy who's constantly preaching against alcohol is the guy who's had issues with alcoholism. He hasn't learned how just to live by the Spirit. You know, I don't preach against alcohol. I preach against being influenced by it in the sense that I have no desire for it. And I would have been considered an alcoholic under the definition of AA. How much I drank every night when I got home from work. No question about it. How much alcohol I consumed. I would have been classified an alcoholic. And when I got saved, that desire was taken. Thank you, Jesus. And I've testified the same with the drugs. I had no problem. I mean, to this day, I don't know what happened to my stash. It disappeared. I think some angels came in my house and got rid of it the very night I got born again, because I could never find it after I got saved. And I know the person that led me to the Lord didn't take it with them. But they disappeared. Literally disappeared. Because I went to where I used to hide it. And where'd it go? I had to check my 5-year-old's room, making sure she wasn't rolling her own anymore. Huh? See, there's certain things that when you realize you had a problem with it, might have been anger, might have been lust, it might have been alcohol, it might have been something, just fill in the blank, it might have been fear. Whatever it was, is Jesus bigger than that?
Yes.
Is Jesus bigger than that?
Yes.
And when I walk in the Spirit, when I'm influenced by the Spirit, I will not have to give place to that. I'm not afraid of going back into alcoholism. I'm not afraid of going back into drugs. I'm not afraid of going back into some of the things that I was involved with in my BC days before Christ. Why? Because I am so given over to walking by faith and walking by wisdom and walking by the Spirit and living where Jesus wants me to live. And I am so established in who I am in Him that those things no longer present themselves as legitimate temptations. They are not legitimate temptations. It's so easy just to walk right past it. It's so easy just to ignore it. It's so easy just to say no to it. But it takes time cutting the Word into your heart, getting your heart established so that those things no longer bother you. I walk by faith and not by sight. Actually, 1 John goes back and says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. This is what I'm declaring to you tonight. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Doesn't mean you didn't know the truth. It says you don't practice it. But if we walk in the light, as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin or all unrighteousness. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. So I walk in that light. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But the Amplified puts it this way. Therefore, He says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine and make your day dawn upon you and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. That's what Romans 6:4 always says, walking in newness of life, or may walk in the new life, as one translation says it. All this comes down to walking in wisdom. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside or without. Behave yourselves wisely, the Amplified says. Live prudently and with discretion in your relations with those of the outside world or non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing and buying up every opportunity. We're living in days where the world needs us. The world needs us to be walking by the Spirit. The world needs us to be living and conducting ourselves in such a way that they see the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I was one of those agnostics who always was critical of Christians because most of the time I saw Christians preach one thing and live another. I don't ever want to be that kind of a Christian. I want to be the kind of Christian that when someone finds out who I am as a believer, they'll go, oh, that makes sense. That explains it. Now I know. Now I understand. That's the fruit that I want to have in my life. But that fruit, as I said, comes by abiding in Him. I don't work hard at producing fruit. I work hard at abiding in Him, remaining in Him. And when I am in Him, all these scriptures I just gave you talk about being in Him, that fruit is going to be automatic. The fruit of the Spirit, if I'm remaining in Him and He is love, love is going to come out of me. If I'm abiding in Him and He is patience, I'm going to be able to produce that in my life. Last scripture that we talk about all the time. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. Paul's writing to the church and challenging them and encouraging them with something. This is a scripture that we have on our business cards and all kinds of other places. This is one of the main scriptures that we established this ministry on. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. I have preached from this verse 100 times or more. And I'll probably preach from it another 100 times or more before Jesus comes back if He tarries. Because there's something about this passage that wraps up the gospel for us as believers. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you received Him is the question. If you haven't received Him, it's time to get born again. It's time to allow Him to come into your life in such a way that you make sure that you know that you know that you are in Him. And that He is in you. Because if you've received Him, you've received everything you need necessary for life to be able to abide in Him, to remain in Him, to bring forth fruit in your life. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk in Him, live in Him. Let your life be conducted by Him. Verse 7, here comes, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. But beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, everyone say in Him. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. So when I look at that scripture and I realize that in Him dwells all the fullness of God's Godhead, and He's in me and I'm in Him, oh man, I am complete in Him. There's nothing else that I have to try to do to prove my Christianity or even improve on my Christianity. You know, we get all these self-help improvement things, but I'm, as far as He is concerned, I am already complete in Him. Now, I need to grow and mature in Him, but I'm already complete. So I don't understand that. Well, when a baby is born, most babies have everything they need. They're complete. They have all the toes and fingers and everything's complete. It's a complete human being. If there was no situation where there's a deformity or something, they're complete. Now they just need to grow and mature, correct? We're complete in Him when we've been born again as a baby Christian, as a child of God. We are complete in Him. And then He challenges us to grow up in Him in all things. To walk in Him. To abide in Him. To remain in Him. And fruit will be the obvious byproduct. Father, I thank You tonight for Your Word. I'm so thankful for showing each and every one of us the truth, showing us exactly how we can walk in You, live in You, be influenced, and conduct our lives by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We're so thankful, Father, that we can walk in the Spirit, and we can say no to all the desires of the flesh, that we do as Paul said, we crucify our flesh, we put it under, we say no. When the flesh tries to rise up and dominate, we have the strength of the Spirit of God, and we have the wisdom and the knowledge and the faith of the Word of God to be able to say, no, that's not even a legitimate opportunity or temptation. I continue to walk in the Spirit. I continue to live in the Spirit. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. We honor You and love You for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, Amen.